God for everything that he has done for us? How about giving him some thanks of where he has brought you from? For the things that he has done in your life. Before you're seated today, could you just one time with me, could we all say restore? Restore. You may be seated. Today we're kicking off our vision for 2024, and I believe that today this is more than just a theme. I believe this is more than just an excuse to hype people up and to wear our t-shirts on a Sunday. As a leadership team, we have been talking that we believe that this restore, we believe this vision is for 2024, but also going forward. We don't believe this is just something that we're doing this year and then it's going to stop. We believe that Abundant Life Church is at a pivotal point where we truly believe God is getting ready to take us to the next level. And we have come a long ways from the living room down the road and the storefront across the street. And there's some old photos. Thanks to technology, I was able to dig up some old photos. Obviously, they are old, as you can tell how blurry they are. But this was the sanctuary across the street. This was the youth room, the Sunday school room that we had across the street. This was some of our first church services in that building. And we didn't have a different pastor at that time either. He just had a lot more hair. As you can see, this is what the sanctuary used to look like. There was just a big curtain going around. There was a pulpit that wasn't even stained. It was just a nailed together pulpit that we had. Baptistry tank. Some of you have heard the story Brother Roberts has told about our baptistry tank that was over there that was way heavier than we thought it was and was not up to code. As you can see from these photos, though, Abundant Life Church has been blessed. As we sit here in this sanctuary, we should thank God for all he has done for us and where he has brought us. We're now in a beautiful sanctuary that has undergone multiple remodels to get to where we are at now. We even have it upstairs now. For those of you that don't know, used to when you walked in the front door over there, you were just in the church. There was no other set of doors. There was no ceiling. There was no upstairs. It was just you walked in the church. You were in the church. There was no doubt when somebody came into the church. It was very obvious when somebody walked into the church. A lot of the building, a lot of what you see in here didn't even exist. Some of y'all may have been here long enough to remember we used to have a storage room that was over here. Some of y'all may remember that. Some of y'all may remember the baptistry being over here on this side instead of on this side. Some of y'all may remember when we used to try to have Sunday school room next door where the prayer room is at, but there was no wall separating. You could hear them having Sunday school right next door, right across the wall from us. But since then, we've even been able to purchase the building next door. So now we own both of these buildings. We have our own youth room. Basically, the youth group has the whole upstairs in the other building over there. They have multiple rooms. Our children's department has multiple rooms. Hopefully, pretty soon, we'll be able to remodel over there and have a fully functional, multi-purpose facility in the other half of the building. We now have a nice church van that's in very good shape, that's new. We have plenty of parking lot. We have a corner lot in one of the busiest parts of Alabaster. We have an area outside for our kids to play. I would say that we are truly blessed. Amen. That's all right. We can celebrate that. Amen. But I will tell you this. I don't think this is the final step for Abundant Life Church. I don't think that now is the time that we become complacent, because it would be very easy to maintain what we have. We've got a good thing going on. It would be easy just to go with the flow and to keep having good church on Sundays, but I don't think that's God's plan for this church. I don't find anywhere in the scripture where God called us to just maintain. I believe we are supposed to always be pushing forward for something better. I believe we are to strive for growth, and while we are thankful for what God has done, we should always desire more for his kingdom. And I'm not just talking today about bigger buildings and higher attendance, but there should be something inside of me that strives for more. There should be something that stirs in my soul every day that says, I have got to move further in my walk with God. I don't want to ever wake up one morning and just feel like I have arrived. Like there's nothing else from God. There's nothing else to learn, that I have peaked. Until the day I die, I want to be striving more from God. And so that's what we are doing today, is we are casting a vision. And I believe that over the years, our vision has changed. We've tried to accomplish different things. I remember when we were just talking about trying to get the building next door. I remember when we were talking about just trying to purchase this building. But we used to show up on Sunday mornings and look out the front door across the street and say, man, I wish we had that building over there. So yes, over the years, we've kind of tweaked our vision and we've realigned our vision. But one thing that has never changed, and that's been our mission. The mission of Abundant Life Church has never changed, and that is to reach the lost and to make disciples. To fulfill the Great Commission found in Matthew 28 and 19. And over time, I believe we have moments like this today where we take a moment and we realign with what God has for our life. And so I will begin with this passage here from Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. And if you have the titles or the headings in your Bible, this one is probably labeled the Unworthy Servants. But starting on verse 7, it says, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly? Serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. During the times of the Bible, a servant who only did his job or what was commanded got no special commendation from his master, since all he had done was fulfill his responsibilities. In the spiritual context, as disciples of Christ, we should not expect special commendation for just doing simply what is required. We serve the Lord because that's what it means to follow him as disciples. It is our duty. Nobody here today that is a business owner or a manager or administrator over people of some kind wants people working for them that are only interested in the bare minimum. I don't think I've ever heard someone say, you know what, that guy Bob over there is a fantastic employee. He shows up and does just enough to not get fired. I've never heard a manager say that. I've never heard a business owner say, you know what, that lady over there, she is doing the bare minimum for this job. Give me 10 more like her. Some of y'all are laughing because you've probably been in that situation. So if 2024 is going to be the year of revival like we have seen, or like we think it's going to be here at Abundant Life Church, then we must get out of the mindset of doing the bare minimum. This has got to be the year that we make it personal and we put more effort into the things of God like we never have before. So this brings us to our theme, restore. I believe the church as a whole, and especially this church here, this local assembly, is a place of healing and restoration. So many people that have come to this church have similar stories of being hurt. But if we're going to reach the potential that God has for us, then we have to be restored in order to reach others. I've got to have God do something in my life so that I can turn around and help someone else. If you look up restore in the dictionary, it's defined as this: to give back or to return, to put or to bring back into existence or use, to bring back or to put into a former or original state, to renew, to put again into possession of something. So I would ask you here today, are there some people here in 2024 that you want to be restored? That you've gone through some things in your life and you're saying, you know what, God, I'm ready to get back to where I was. I've gone through some hurts. I've gone through some things. I've struggled with some things. Life has just beat me down, but I am ready for a restoration. I am ready to be restored. I am ready to be made new. But we must be prepared because restoration requires work and it requires sacrifice. If you've ever watched any of the TV shows where they restore old cars, you typically only see the before and the after. You can't restore a car in a 60-second or a 60-minute program. Anybody that's ever dealt with that, as somebody, well, I've not done a ton of restorations, but I have worked in the automotive industry for years, there's a lot that happens in those shows off camera. A lot that happens. When you go to the car show and you see the nice, shiny hot rod, ask somebody how long it took to get there. It's usually years of restoration. It's usually months and hours and hours and hours of grinding rust out, of redoing body work, of trying to find old parts. It takes a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort to restore something. But the good thing is that God has a plan for us for restoration. God wants us to be restored so that we can grow, and more importantly, we can evangelize and make disciples. I need God to do a work in my life so that I can reach out to others. So we're going to take a three-pronged approach this year to restore. We're going to reach out, we're going to be intentional, and we're going to make it personal. And just in case you forget, you can always read it off your shirt. That's why we put it on there. So let's take a closer look. First, we're going to reach out. In the New Testament, you see a great emphasis on community, of breaking bread together, worshiping together, going house to house. Fellowship as a body and as a church family is very, very important. And like I preached in the commitment week message a few weeks back, if we do not have unity within the church, we will fail. If we do not have unity, we cannot accomplish what God wants in our life. So how about trying this in 2024, is don't wait on someone else to make the first move. That's what reaching out is about. Make that phone call. Send a text message. Invite someone to lunch. Encourage someone. Invite someone to your house. Invite the kids over for a play date. Don't wait around and say, well, I'll just wait till someone invites me somewhere. How about this year we say, you know what? I'm going to be the one that reaches out. I'm going to be the one that makes the first move. I want to be the one that makes an effort to reach out to coworkers, to reach out to my neighbors, to reach out to schools, to reach out to those within the church. I know it's easy for us to gravitate to people who are interested in the same things as us. I know we form our own groups around like-minded individuals and interests, but at some point we've got to make an effort to reach out. And I am talking to myself here. Some point this year, I've got to make it a priority in my life that I am going to start reaching out to those that need to hear the gospel. The next is we're going to be intentional. We will purposefully make connections to those around us. Evangelism does not happen by accident. Evangelizing is an action. It is something that we do. If you want to accomplish something, you have to be intentional about it. We use the example of professional athletes all the time. The reason they are the best of the best is because everything they do at that top level is intentional. The exercises they do, the meals they eat, the workouts they have, the practices they have, everything has a very specific purpose. When those owners are signing contracts to players that are millions and millions of dollars, they don't waste time on things that don't matter. They say, you are playing on my team and I'm paying you $50 million on a contract. You're going to perform at the highest level because they are intentional about being the best. So this year, we're going to be intentional about the things of God. I'm not wasting time on things that don't matter. I'm not just flying by the seat of my pants hoping that somehow I align with God's will. This is the year that we get focused. This is the year that we are intentional and say, God, I want your will to be the first thing in my life. I want your will. I want to align perfectly with your will. And the last thing, we're going to make it personal because we must accept a personal responsibility to evangelize. There's this thing called the bystander effect. I don't know if anybody in here has ever heard that psychological term, the bystander effect. And to Simplified, it says that this occurs when the presence of others discourages an individual from intervening in an emergency situation. And I read some stories where this happened, where an accident would happen or somebody would be in medical distress and there would be a large group of people. And what does everybody do? They assume that somebody else has already called 911. Well, there's no reason for me to report it because I'm sure someone else has already done it. This year at Abundant Life Church, we don't need bystanders. We don't need to be just assuming that somebody else is doing the work. It doesn't matter this year what someone else is doing or not doing. I'm making up my mind. I am going to be intentional about the things of God. I am going to make it a personal responsibility in my life to grow in Christ. Evangelism is on me. It's my responsibility to evangelize. It's my responsibility to reach out. It's my responsibility to pray. It's my responsibility to read the Bible. It's my responsibility to give. The things of God are on me this year. I am taking a personal responsibility. So as I get ready to close here and the next person comes up, I would ask you, who is ready to be restored in 2024? Who can honestly say, this is the year that things change in my life? This is the year that I am done struggling with the things I struggle with. This is the year that I get my healing. This is the year that I get my restoration. This is the year that my family gets put back together. This is the year that my relationship gets put back together. This is the year. 2024 is the year that I am going to look back on 10 years from now and say, that's when God restored me. It was in a kickoff service in a Vision Sunday in January of 2024 when God spoke to me and said, you will be restored. I am going to put your life back together so that I can accomplish things in your life. Now we're going to hear from our youth, from our children's department. They're going to come and kind of cast a vision for that as well. If we could all give our hand for our wonderful youth department and our children's department.
Praise the Lord. I'm always telling the kids, you're not the only ones that get nervous up here. So children, I am nervous. Evelyn just looked at me. She's like, are you having stage fright? I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely, I am. Okay, so as I was considering the vision and the points that we were going to be focused on and aligning it with children's department and what we can do to support the families, I was led to a portion of scripture that always seems to stir me when it comes to my kids personally. And it's in Deuteronomy 4:6, and it's Moses talking to the children of Israel as they are walking out of the land of Egypt. And God is beginning to establish a covenant between the children of Israel and himself. And Moses is admonishing the children of Israel to keep the Lord's commandments and judgments when they go to possess this promised land. They're moving from one mindset of being slaves into a promised land of abundance. And so Deuteronomy 6:1, it says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. I want that. I don't know about you. By all his decrees and commands that I give you. And then I'm going to go down to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And the promise is when the Lord brings you into that land, a land that is large, flourishing cities that you did not build. There's houses with all kinds of goods that you did not provide and wells that are dug that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, and you will eat and you will be satisfied. That's a great promise. That's a great promise, but with a great responsibility. So if there's a focal point from our vision 2024 that I see represented in these verses, it is be intentional. And before I moved to the children's department to include our vision of how to get the kids involved, let me encourage the parents, guardians, as you begin to catch the vision brought to you today, be intentional in making it a family affair. Be intentional about studying the Bible with them. Ask them questions about their view of God or how they feel about their relationship with God. I call it taking their spiritual temperature. Be in tune with what's going on in their hearts, because you don't know. They have questions, and if they don't feel like they're comfortable in a place to express it, it's just stirring here and they're not getting the answers. Take them to the Word of God. Our children's team is committed to supporting and facilitating activities to help every child grow in God. However, I ran the numbers, and the discipleship we have scheduled every week only accounts to 1 to 2% of their time. 1 to 2%. That's the influence upstairs we have on them. We have to refrain from being deceived into thinking that what they get here is enough. God has called you to disciple. He has given you the tools to reach your child. God has purposely set that child in your home to glean from you. So as Moses encouraged the children of Israel, I encourage you, impress this word on their heart. Talk about the Lord when you sit down. Talk about him when you're walking about, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Write it on the post of your house and on the gates, and watch the fruit grow. I'm so nervous, y'all. I'm shaking like a leaf. Okay, sorry. For our part, the children's ministry has implemented a plan to help encourage and facilitate ALC kids to participate in Vision 2024. Reach out. This year, we specifically focus on reaching out to those in need with cards and prayer cloths. We are setting aside one Sunday a month for the children to bring a specific people they want us to pray for. We're going to anoint cloths and make cards for the child to hand deliver or for us to mail to the individual in need. Our hope is that this opens the child's eyes to see that they are the hands and feet of Jesus, that they are light to this world. We hope that the more they respond to the needs with care and prayer, the more people will recognize them as vessels for God, and that their personal prayer ministry will grow. Be intentional. Last year, Brother TJ invited the children's department and a chance to minister and partner with him in the nursing home ministry. It has quickly become a favorite of ours. We aim to encourage the kids to seek the patients out for specific prayer needs and pray for them there. Along with prayer, we've asked every child who would like to participate to choose a particular way that they want to minister as an individual in the service. Some have already chosen to sing, play a piano song, read a Bible story, recite poems, and more. And we see this as them intentionally using talents and gifts that God has given to minister outside of the walls of this church and to bless someone in need. We are excited to see God move and increase the talents that he's given them. Make it personal. Our greatest hope this year is to lead these kids into developing a personal relationship with God through personal devotion. This past Wednesday, we gifted all of the kids with journals, pens, and a Bible reading plan. The goal is for them to read it daily, write down a scripture that stands out, and ask questions and write down words they don't understand. And then they will bring it back every Wednesday for us to sit down and discuss with them. We've also encouraged them to set a prayer goal. It could be as small as a minute to start, but we have to start developing a one-on-one time with Jesus. Every relationship with God has to become personal for it to last. And as they develop this relationship with God, we will see the growth of wisdom and knowledge. We will see a growth in their worship and a growth in their witness. I ask the church to pray for our children. The world is getting more confusing, and we need the light of this word to illuminate their hearts and their minds so they can be a light to the world.
Amen. I will plan to be very brief today. We had a very good year in 2023 as a youth group. We saw a little bit of growth in our youth group. We also made a lot of great memories, but I believe that God has some even greater things in store for us this year. I believe God has deeper depths that he wants to take us, and that should be our goal every single year, is to go deeper with God. But the vision, I guess, that I have, that me and my wife sort of have for the youth group this year, I was in prayer one of the first few days of the year, probably the first week 2024. I was just in prayer one morning, as I normally do, getting ready for work.
And I just felt the Lord impress a word upon my heart. And the word that I had, or the word that I felt God impress upon me, was the word growth. The vision that I have sort of falls in line with what we've already heard for the youth, or for the children department, what we've already heard for the church in general. But I just feel that we are in a season right now where we just need to grow. I'm not just talking about numerical growth. I do pray every year that by the time next year comes around, we will grow, if not double, triple. It's always great to see growth in the youth department, because when the youth department grows, the kingdom of God grows. But what I want to focus on, again, we've heard this throughout the month about our commitment week, our commitment month, our vision Sunday. We've heard about growth. We've heard about spiritual growth, growing in our relationship with God. But I do want to focus on that very strongly in our youth this year. None of us are so far advanced in our walk with God, or we shouldn't be so far advanced in our walk with God that we don't have room to grow in our relationship with God. So as a youth group, we're focusing very strongly, and we've already went over this. I've already went over a lot of this the first Wednesday that we met, sort of shared my vision with the youth. But we're focusing on digging deeper into the Word of God. It's important that we all have our own personal devotion. And I always like to try to read the Bible through in a year. And that's great, but we need to do more than just read the Bible every day to mark it off of our checklist. But we need to have a devotion time where we dig deeper into the Word, where we study the Word. It's important that we know why the Word says what it says. It's good to memorize the Word. It's good to be able to quote the Word of God, but we need to know what it means, why it says what it says. So we need to dig deeper into the Word. And sometimes it can be hard to try to figure out a way to study the Word. So the first Wednesday night, my wife, she printed out some study plans and some tools that will help our young people, some worksheets that will help our young people to have a study plan so that they can dig deeper into the Word. We should all have our own study, our own personal devotion, but we also felt that we need to have collective growth. So we started a Bible reading plan that, you know, involved everybody together collectively. It was a 12-day plan where we just all read the Bible together on our Bible app. We got together, we read it every single day, and it gave us an opportunity to discuss it afterwards. So we came together and we discussed what we read, what we learned, what we got out of what we read. And I believe that not only holds us accountable, or we see each other read that word, so we all know who read the Bible and who didn't. So it holds us accountable, and it also helps us to get insight from each other, because I believe it's important that we lean upon each other. Because if we are divided, then we cannot grow. As it's already been mentioned, we are focusing on unity, because if the body is divided, the body cannot grow. So we do that. And we're planning on doing more of those Bible reading plans together throughout the year so that we can grow collectively. We're also focusing on digging deeper into prayer. I believe just praying 5 minutes a day, I don't believe that's sufficient. If I only talked to my wife for 5 minutes a day, our relationship wouldn't be sustainable. But I believe that we should have a deeper prayer life, a deeper time of a communication with God. And many of our lessons that we are focusing on this year will be focusing on ways that will help us grow. We're currently in a series that's talking about the danger of not only sins, but also weights and distractions and anything that would keep us from moving forward and growing in our relationship with God. We need to cut out anything that prevents us from growing closer to God and stunting our spiritual growth. And growth, it's uncomfortable. Growth can be painful. That's why it's called growing pains. You know, that term growing pains, because growing sometimes can be uncomfortable. And sometimes in your growth, it feels like you're not moving forward. Sometimes growth feels like being stuck. But when you look at the life of Jesus, he had to grow and develop into his ministry. Before he could ever learn to walk on water as a child, he had to learn how to walk, because he was fully man and fully God. He had to learn how to walk. Before he could speak life into situations as a child, he first had to learn how to speak. His ministry didn't start until he was around 30 years old. So I wanted us to focus to our young people this year that I believe that they have callings on their lives. I believe that God has some great things in store for their ministries, but they don't have to have everything figured out right now. They don't have to have their whole life laid out before them right now. They don't have to be fully into their ministry right now, but they need to grow where God has planted them right now. It may seem slow. It may seem like they're not moving forward the way they should be, but if they will continue to do what they're supposed to do, read daily, study, dig deeper into the Word of God, show up to church, do more than the bare minimum, like Brother Anthony already said, if they will just grow where God has planted them, then I believe that God has great ministries in store, not only this year, but in the years to come. And I'm excited about what God is going to do for our youth group in 2024. I'm excited about the growth that we're going to experience. And I believe that we can grow together and we can move that momentum going forward. And I believe that if we do that, then the rest of the world will see our light. And not only can we grow spiritually, but we can also grow numerically. So I'm excited about what God is going to do for us in 2024.
I have a timer going. Usually I can take us as long as I need to, but I'm not the last one today. But I am excited as a pastor, first of all, about the things that are happening at Abundant Life Church. I believe that everyone in Abundant Life Church needs to share the vision, be involved in the vision, from the youngest to the oldest, because we are all called to do something. And as I was thinking about this, and I will present the burden in a few minutes for, I believe, our mortgage retirement that God has given me and spoke to me, I wanted to take us to the book of Judges real quickly. A familiar story in the book of Judges, chapter 7. And I will, for the sake of time, read three verses and then kind of tell you, fill in the blanks between those so that you can follow along. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And then verse 9, it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand." Amen. A word from God. But a word from God does not just require hearing, it requires action. The promise was, you will be successful. The instructions were, go. Verse 14, the commandment was, go into the camp of the Midianites and find out what they are saying about you. Praise God. In verse 14, then his companion answered and said, and we are talking about, the Bible's talking about the Midianites, their enemy. There is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. So evidently the enemy knew who was coming. And they were not optimistic about victory because they said, "It is Gideon coming after us." And more importantly, his God. So we might as well give up now because we're not going to win. Amen. I'm operating on that 1963 technology. In our world today, that is ancient. But the 1963 technology is still working. I grew up in the late 60s and 70s with the music of the 70s. So I like to make musical references. 2020 was like living in a funk and not the Rick James kind. I knew some of y'all would get that. Had to preach to your audience every now and then. 2021 was like having Linda Ronstadt wailing in the background, poor, poor, pitiful me. So I decided about mid-year 2021, I had a decision to make. Brother Hillstead, I could just give up and quit, or I could hang around a little longer and see what might happen. Amen. I'm still hanging around today. Because somewhere along the way, we have got to get a hold of the vision that the God we serve is bigger than any enemy that comes against us. The God that we serve is greater than any negativity that comes against us. It's easy to get hung up on everyday life and think that the end is near. It's easy to look around and just see the 300 that are going up against the Midianites. It is easy to look at what we see and then start to believe that. But I believe that we need to get a hold of something called faith and then take the faith and act on that and just have a reckless abandonment and just go after what we believe God has called us to do. Amen. I believe that when the angel of the Lord, and in the Old Testament King James Version, Lord is capital L-O-R-D, and when it is used in capital letters, this is usually a significant deal here because that either represents an angelic being sent from God or it represents a theophany where God appeared through another form. And this being, this angel, angelic being, appeared to Gideon. And I believe that Gideon at this point was a desperate individual. I believe the Midianites had worn him down. I believe that it was not pleasant circumstances. And it also looks like Gideon was fed up. And he was sick and tired of the situation, and there was absolutely no reason for optimism. Praise God. Amen. Because everything that he looked at around him was bad news. He was not excited. He was not optimistic. He was fed up with the situation. And the Lord assured him, I will deliver you. I will do something for you. And the Lord told Gideon, notice this language here, to go in your strength. And he was talking to a man who had no strength. He was talking to a man who had been beaten down by life. He was talking to a man who was not optimistic or excited. I believe that Gideon had gone past the point of a positive mental attitude. I believe he had gotten past the point of speaking positive words and trying to make it till you could fake it till you could make it. I believe that he was probably tired of working harder just to maintain a modicum of well-being. And Gideon was tired of being pushed around and intimidated and being made to feel small. So Gideon put the facts on the angelic being. Listen to this. He said, I am from the smallest tribe, and I am the smallest of my family, which is the smallest family of the smallest tribe. Gideon was being honest with the angelic being, and he said, this is where I am. We remember the tribe of Manasseh, right? The tribe that fought for everybody else's blessing but didn't have enough faith to fight for theirs. The older son serving the younger son. And Gideon said, this is where I come from. And Gideon had an angelic being and visitation, a message from God, and God broke it down to the ridiculous for him. He said, I will certainly be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites as if they were only one man. Instead of looking at the enemy as this vast army spread out across a mountainside or across the valley or wherever the geography was, whether they had the high ground or the low ground, or if they were in a better position than the children of Gideon's army, it did not matter because God was telling him, you will be successful. I believe that every minister has probably preached from the thought of Gideon and his 300. And we've all done the math of how Gideon was left with less than 1% of his original army, and God only left him with 300. We've kind of celebrated the deliverance and the mighty victory, and we've kind of cast the vision of, well, if you have at least 300, you can defeat this main army. But if you look at this and study this, and I looked at the scriptures and really read that, when God said, "I am going to use your strength and the strength of your men, and you will defeat the Midianites as if they were only one man," Gideon actually had the advantage because he had 301 against one. What if today we caught the vision? And I don't have to give you all the headlines. You guys read. Y'all are engaged. You know what our world is like. You know how confused everything is. You know how everything has gone wrong that can go wrong. There's no need in rehashing that. But if we could catch on to the fact that I might only be one, but one plus God is enough. I might be the only kid at my high school that is trying to do what is right, that is trying to live a moral life, that is trying to do the right thing. But I've got news for you today. If we could catch on for the vision, that one at my high school plus God is enough, because I can defeat the enemy. I can defeat everything that's going on around me. And not only can I defeat my enemy, but I can change my environment for the better, because God and I make a majority. God and I can do all things. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. It's not on my strength. It's not on my battle plan. But when we get back to the Word of God and say, "God, this is yours." Amen. Praise God. I love it when we show pictures of where we've come from, because it is easy to walk into the sanctuary today and forget where Abundant Life Church started. For 3 or 4 months, 5 months, we were at the house. I had the shortest commute of any pastor in Alabama. My commute to the sanctuary was about 20 feet. People used to want to come early to Abundant Life Church because if you came early, you got to sit on the couch. Came late, you had to sit in a straight back dining room chair. So people started coming in early, wanted the sofa. We outgrew the cul-de-sac for parking and outgrew the sanctuary in our living room for people. We moved into the storefront directly across the street from this building where the barbershop resides. When we moved in there, I thought, this is our final resting place. There is no way we'll outgrow this one. But here we are today. And it's through the blessings of God. I get my hair cut at the barber shop, and I went in there one day and introduced myself. And he's like, "Yeah, you're the pastor that used to meet in here." He said, "You know, when we first moved in this building, there was just something we felt in here." So that's the reason, because we left some residual Holy Ghost anointing over here. We didn't take it all. Amen. And I told him, I said, "I believe your business will be blessed because you are in this building." Some folks might not believe that. I do. I believe that the promise is, wherever you go, I go with you. And I believe that. And I thought, what a neat testimony for the guy that's looking at our building from over here, the same view we used to have. And now we're here. God has blessed us so much. We have remodeled several times to make this sanctuary what it is today. We bought the building next door. We're fortunate, very fortunate, along the way to have great tenants over there that allowed us to share the parking lot. It is. It could be a difficult situation when your neighbors are only about 30 feet away from you. But God always smiled on us, and I felt in my heart that one day we would own that piece of property, and sure enough, God is faithful. And last year, 2023, I believe very strongly that God spoke to me and said that we could pay off our mortgage. This is a time of transition for us. Up until this point, every Every remodel that we have done, God has blessed us to pay cash for those. We have never had to finance an upgrade or remodel. That includes light, sound, and everything else that we enjoy over here. When we moved into the building next door, we were blessed to completely recarpet and paint the one-third of the building that, if you're looking at that building, is on your right, which is our administrative offices. And we took care of that. The youth room did work up there so that the youth had their own place to meet. Now the children took over where they used to have to share facilities. They have their own facility. And God blessed us enough to be able to do all of that without borrowing any money. Through your kindness and His blessing, we have done that. So in 2025, that sounds like, wow, 2025. I didn't think I would ever make it to 2025. Anybody remember the year 2000 when it was all supposed to end? So I guess we're living in 24 years, bonus number 20, year number 24 for our bonus year, because it was supposed to all be over. So in 2025, you guys will put my slide up there. We will have to refinance. We will have to refinance what we owe on this building and that building. We were able to combine these two properties into one mortgage. That mortgage is due in 2025, and we will be forced to refinance that with another balloon note. And so we will owe about $450,000 in January 2025. All of you know what is happening in our interest rates. They have gone up. Our current interest rate is 4.7%. At today's rate, probably about 7.5% is about what we would be looking at today. There's no way to predict what will happen in 2025. And talking to some people, I personally believe that the rates will be coming down. I believe that we have probably peaked out. Fortunately, we are in an election year, so everyone will try to make things look as good as possible, and everybody will take credit for it. That's the neat thing about it. The Republicans and the Democrats will take credit for exactly the same thing. I lowered the interest rates. No, I lowered the interest rates. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to enjoy cheaper gas and lower rates regardless of who gets the credit. So that is what we are looking at. So I believe that God is going to help us. I believe that we can take care of the mortgage and be done with it. And then that way we won't have to worry about what the interest rate is. We won't have to worry about what is going on. So today I just kind of wanted to break it down for you. First of all, I will assure you, Abundant Life Church is a church that is very frugal with what God has blessed us with. I tell everyone I spend Abundant Life money like I spend the Roberts household money, very, very tightly. I am very frugal. I grew up with a dad who was a Scots-Irishman that grew up or was a child during the Depression, and that man put the tea in tight. He didn't believe in spending any money. And I inherited some of that from him. And we take very good care of what God has blessed us with. We are not trying to pay off the mortgage so that I can get a vacation home on the beach. And you won't have to worry about seeing me drive in a fancy new car. I'm satisfied with the Toyota that I'm driving. If it's still working, I see no need to change. So I believe that we can do this. I believe that we can do this. I believe that anything that we pay against this $450,000, we can pay that directly against the principal, and that will automatically save us in interest. If we only finance $350,000 instead of the $450,000, the interest savings alone would be $93,000. If we finance $250,000, we would save $186,000 in interest. And you kind of get the picture there. For each individual in the room, you will decide. You will decide what is a sacrificial offering for you. I am not putting limits. I am not putting out suggestions. That is totally between you and God. And each individual will determine what is a sacrificial offering. I would encourage us to look at making a sacrificial offering to retire the debt of the church, the mortgage debt of the church. With that mortgage defeated, we could finish the remodel and the building next door. And that our next stage over there is going to be a nice fellowship area where we can enjoy our fifth Sunday dinners and different special occasions. And we already have the architectural drawings. We have already purchased all of that. It is ready to go. All we would have to do is find a contractor to handle that for us. So we could pull the trigger pretty quickly if we have the money to do that and complete that. We are using that building, and so this would just kind of finish that up. Parking lot needs some attention. This would free that up. And it would also free us up to sponsor more missionaries, to do more in the kingdom of God. Abundant Life Church has always been a giving church. We are known. It's a giving church. We participate in every offering, and we sponsor missionaries both at home and abroad. And I believe that God blesses us for our giving. I believe that when we give, God blesses. I have proven that in my life. And so I wanted just to give you these very quick numbers, and then Brother Anthony will come up and wrap everything up for us. I would ask our ushers, if you guys don't mind, there are some pledge cards, I believe, in that box over there. If you would just start passing out the pledge cards, the little business cards, and then I will finish up here, and then I will give you instructions on that. If you just paid $1,000 against the mortgage retirement, just $1,000, that would reduce the monthly payment by $8 a month. That doesn't sound like much, but on a 20-year loan, that would save us $924 of interest. If you paid $10,000 against the mortgage retirement, that would reduce the monthly payment by $80 a month. I think those are the prayer cards. The pledge cards are business type cards. And also, $100,000 would reduce the payment by $860. So whatever amount you can give, whatever amount you can contribute, and the long-range plans of Abundant Life Church, this saves us interest, this saves us from having to finance more money, and moves us closer to our goal. So if you will take these pledge cards that the ushers are passing out right now, you do not have to give the money today. What I would like for you to do is prayerfully consider what God would have you to do, whatever God speaks to your heart. Your information will be held in the strictest of confidence. Whatever you write on the pledge card, I will explain that in a minute. It will be held in strictest of confidence. There is no way anyone else is going to know what you gave or what you pledged, and you just simply write your name. There is a pledge amount. You have until January 2025 to be able to do this, and that way when we refinance in January, we will have the money where we don't have to either finance as much or hopefully pay the whole thing off. You can do it this year, which means you would have it ready by January 2025. You can do it weekly, monthly, just by designating on a tithing envelope. This goes for the mortgage reduction, and our secretary will know how to handle that and where to put that. If you would like to do it bi-weekly, bi-monthly, biannually, you can do that under other. So I would encourage you throughout the remainder of this service, and then if you would like to take this home and think about it, pray about it, that's perfectly fine. You can turn these in anytime, and just remember to designate that for mortgage retirement. And I believe that we can do this. I believe that God will allow us to do this, and I believe that we can take care of this, and then we can do more things in the kingdom of God. I believe that 2024 is going to be a banner year for Abundant Life Church. I believe that we are standing at a crossroads. There are people that are giving up. I don't believe in giving up. Brother Hillstead, you and I have got too much invested because we got two little grandbabies. Amen. Brother Hawkins, we got to leave them something. We've got to leave them the truth. We have got to teach them and preach to them and show them. Because if not, our Pentecostal heritage, our Pentecostal apostolic heritage could be extinct in one generation. In one generation. Folks, we can't afford that to happen. We must keep fighting. Quitting is not an option. Giving up is not an option. And when Gideon told the angel, "There is no way, I'm the least of the least. It's not going to work. Have you looked at that mighty army?" The angel just simply told him, "Go into their camp and see what they're saying about you." I believe the enemy fights Abundant Life Church and every other truth-preaching church because he knows one thing. They are dangerous to my kingdom if they keep doing what they're doing. If Satan is not fighting you or the church, you need to look at your life, and I need to examine the church to see what side we're on. Because the enemy is not just going to roll over and give you territory. He's not just going to roll over and give you your family back. He's not just going to roll over and quit messing with you. You know what we've got to do? We are involved in a fight, and we are involved in a fight to the end, and we must persevere. We must. Amen. There is going to be a time of prayer here in just a couple of minutes. Brother Anthony is going to wrap up. I would encourage you, pray over the pledge cards. If you have any questions, you can see me after church, or I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. Prayerfully consider that. Ask God to speak to you, and I believe that He will. Thank you so much in advance. Thank you for your attention today. Brother Anthony is coming. We got one more handout we're going to do, and he will explain that.
Amen. I believe we can retire the mortgage this year. And I would, to piggyback on that, I would encourage you, this is something I'm going to do, I would challenge everyone in here to do this, is to go through your contacts list in your phone and find people in there that pray, people that you trust that have godly people, people that you trust have a prayer life, and tell them we are retiring the mortgage of this church. But don't ask them for money. Ask them for prayer. I would encourage you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go on social media, and I'm going to make a post about this. Not asking people for money, but asking for prayer. Because I believe that the money to retire this, I have faith that it could come from outside this church. I don't think everybody in here has to somehow win the lottery to pay this off. I mean, if you do, that's fine. Pay the tithes on it. We were headed to the mountains, and I saw the Powerball, and I thought, man, 10% of that would go a long ways at Abundant Life Church. Hey, I won't ask where it came from. Just write the check. But I'm serious. Well, I think we should ask outside of this church, not begging for money, not starting GoFundMe, but asking for prayer. Because I have friends of mine that have been in the same situation we are in, and their church has been paid off. And all they did said, we're just asking for prayer. We're asking for God's will to be done. And so if our ushers could come up here, Brother Braden, Brother Javaris, if you guys want to help me too, we've got some prayer cards right here. I would ask for everybody to take one of these. These are for the kids. These are for everybody. Take one of these, and I'm going to explain them. But I believe that what we've talked about today, I'm all about casting vision. I'm all about everything we've talked about, but I believe this is only going to happen through prayer. Amen. I believe we've got to have prayer in align with God's will over everything that we have talked about today. So as they are passing out these prayer cards, everybody, I would encourage everybody to take one of these. The praise team's going to come up here in just a minute, but I want to go over these prayer cards with you and explain. This is not just some verses that we picked out. This is not just something we did so we would have a handout to give you. But we're going to go over these. It's for starting in February. And for each week in February, we have something specific that we are going to focus on. And I would encourage you to carry this out through the year. Don't just do it in February, but pray through these every month. Read these scriptures every month, and then on the very back, on the bottom, I think it's the white side, on the very bottom, there's a blank. And if you have something that you have a prayer request for, Something that you need God to do this year. Something that is serious, something that is involving restoration, something that you need from God. I want you to write that down on there and keep that. Put it in your bathroom on the mirror, put it on your dresser, hang it on the visor in your car, somewhere where you see this all throughout the year. And as we go through this, I believe that those prayers can be answered. I believe that the major things that people write down on those cards will come to pass. I have faith that they will. And so this is where everybody gets to participate. I'm going to go over each one of these, and then we're going to pray over each one of these. This is class participation. Amen. The first week, February 4th, focus prayer, forgiveness, cleansing, and preparation. Our scriptures are Acts 3 and 19 and Ephesians 2 and 10. And I believe this is important because the first part of any restoration project is cleaning and preparation. Before I go any further in 2024, my prayer has got to be, God, cleanse me. God, if there's anything that needs to go away in my life, if there's anything that is holding me back, before we start this restoration process, God, I want to be cleansed. So if we could stand here today, this is what we're going to pray. We're going to pray over each one of these. I didn't know y'all was going to get to participate like this, did you? I would encourage you, let's pray this right now. God, cleanse me. God, forgive me of my sins. God, prepare me for what you have in store for this year. God, if there's distractions in my life, I want you to remove them right now. God, if there's anything that hinders me from being in your will, I want that removed out of my life right now. God, I want to be restored this year. God, I want to do whatever it takes to prepare my heart. God, right now, I need forgiveness. I need cleansing. I need you to prepare my soul for what you have to do in 2024. The next thing we're going to pray is for inspiration, enabling, and leading. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and Isaiah 41 through 10. Because once we have been cleansed and our hearts prepared, we need to pray that God would inspire us, enable us to lead others. God, I want him to give me the wisdom and the knowledge of things to say when I encounter people that need to hear the gospel message. Because evangelism can be overwhelming. We've all said the question, well, what do I say? Well, I have the answers for the questions that people ask. I'm introverted. I get nervous talking to people. I can't talk to people. I'm not a leader. I'm not this. I'm not that. I believe that our prayer can be focused as, God, give me whatever I need to inspire others. God, enable me to be a leader. So right now, could we pray that, God, inspire me. God, let the Holy Spirit do a work in my life where I have the knowledge to talk to people. God, let me cross paths with people that need to hear your message. God, do a great work in me so that I can go out and make disciples from other people. God, grant me the words to speak to the lost. God, give me favor in my life with my coworkers, with the people at my work, with the people at my school, so that I can lead sinners to you. God, allow me to be a light in a dark world. God, allow me to lead others to hear the gospel message. The next thing we're going to focus on is discipline and development. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Our focus for 2024 is to become a disciple of Christ and to develop our walk with him. Because being a disciple is more than coming to church on Sunday and reading a daily Bible verse. When you are a disciple of something, you become consumed by it. When you are a disciple of something, it becomes integrated into every part of your life. Discipline is how you develop a walk with God. It takes discipline to overcome the flesh. It takes discipline to make time for the things of God. It takes discipline to pray. It takes discipline to study the word. It takes discipline to show up for church. Discipline means I sacrifice the wants of my flesh. So let us pray that right now. God, I want to be a disciple of yours. God, I want to be righteous and I want to walk in holiness each day. God, I want you to correct the things in my life that are not pleasing to you. God, I want you to give me the strength to walk in your light. God, give me wisdom. God, give me a love for people like you love people. God, reveal things to me that I've never seen before. God, I can't imagine being anywhere but in your presence. God, I can't imagine being anywhere but here in your presence. God, I want to be a true disciple of the gospel. And the last one, and this I think is the most important one for this year, is we're going to focus, we're going to say, God, I want to have endurance. And I will read James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, that when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Some of you have probably already gone through some trials this year. Maybe 2023 was great. Maybe 2024 has been horrible. If it hadn't happened to you, guess what? Something bad probably will happen this year. That's not being negative. That's just a fact of life. Sometimes you just wake up and have a flat tire. Sometimes the kids just get sick. Sometimes things just happen. But I know one thing, there is no suffering too great for my God. There is no problem too hard for my God. There is nothing my God cannot restore. We must remember, this is a marathon. This is not a sprint. This is a lifelong commitment to Christ. So as the praise team gets ready to sing, we're going to pray this last prayer, and we're going to open up the altars. God, we come before you today in this service to renew us and to restore us. Right now, we are finishing with a prayer of continuation and endurance. God, give me the strength to weather the storms in my life. God, give me the endurance to make it to the end. God, give me the strength to see your kingdom continue in my life. God, let me continue what was started over 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. God, give me the strength when I feel overwhelmed by life. God, right now I pray to take away all fear, all doubt, all anxiety. Anything that would come against the people in this building today, God, I pray that you would remove it right now. God, give me the endurance that I need to lead my family. God, give me the wisdom, give me the endurance to make it until the end. So let's continue that prayer. These altars are open today, but I encourage you right now, do not leave this place without beginning the journey of restoration. Do not leave this place without connecting to God and saying, you know what? This is my year. We need to put Satan on notice and say, enough is enough. You're not going